Every heart. heart that there'll be no need this morning. I do thank you, Lord, again for the once and for all sacrifice of Calvary. I do pray now that you'll bless this offering, bless everyone that gives, Lord. And I pray you'll bless the preaching of thy word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'll destroy the works of the enemy this morning, Lord. And Lord, that we'll see your glory.
In the name of Jesus.
Touch each heart now,
Holy Ghost.
I do plead again, Lord.
The
Lord Jesus Christ upon each one.
In
Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats, praise God. I'm trying to sing, I really maybe should have practiced, but just for singing it, he showed me his hands that were marred for my sinning. Could we try to sing that? I can remember the tune of it. He showed me his feet that were nailed to the tree. I then saw his brow and his side deeply wounded, and now I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. So, I don't know if you know this one or not, but I'm sure that they're very good, they can pick it up. And I don't do well myself, but we'll give it a go.
He showed me his hands that were marred. And now I love Jesus.
exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted on high.
He is exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. Nations will praise him. His saints will adore him. The King is exalted on high.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we exalt your name in this house. We uplift your name this morning, Lord Jesus. And we say your name is as ointment poured forth. Father, we feel your presence. We know you're here. For two or three gathered in your name, you have promised to be in the midst of them and to bless them. Father, bless your people. Touch your people. Move upon the sick and the afflicted and heal them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, will you inspire us this morning? Will you help us? Will you move us? Lord Jesus, let the Holy Ghost come in and take control, we pray. Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit. I take the Holy Ghost by faith right now. And I thank you for it. Wash us in your blood. Cleanse us in your blood.
Thank you.
Oh God, we lift up all of our children before you this morning. Every family member that's not saved, represented it. Every home, every house, we lift them. And we apply the token of the blood by faith over them. Save them, Lord, we pray. Oh God, move upon them. May the Holy Ghost speak to them. May the Holy Ghost move them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Father, we pray for Diana in America, that dear woman, that you'll spur, that you'll touch her, that you'll raise her up, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. For Brother Beecham, touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. May he know the living power of the living God in Jesus' precious name. For others this morning that need your healing, even in this room, touch and heal knees, heal backs, take away headaches, Lord, blood conditions. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and fear. In Jesus' name, and I pray for health and strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your word, for your word is a blessing. And have your way for those, Lord, with secret needs. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll meet every need. Press down and running over the top. Father, have your way in our lives as we look to you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. She can't be ever beside you and say, God's blessing you right now. God's blessing you right now. Isn't God good? Praise God. That's it, brother. Glory. Glory. Praise God. God is good. The Lord bless each one. Let's read a scripture and then you can be seated. Exodus 12, verse 13, and I'm still talking about the chemistry of blood and this morning, the necessity of blood. Tonight, I might talk about the master's left the house. It's a parable. It's a parable from the Gospels. But you know, this morning when I went in and was going back over what I wanted to say this morning, I get on to a portion on that ark. And I thought to myself, should I preach not tonight instead of the other thing? And then I'm in a sort of a twixt. But anyway, we'll see what the Lord does. I don't want to hold this too long this morning. And I've brought all in what's in my head and thinking. But God's good, isn't he? Let's read verse 13 of Exodus chapter 12. And God bless each one. Verse 13 of Exodus 12. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You may be seated. Praise God. God bless you all this morning. Don't forget a couple of announcements, just because I will forget. Tonight we'll be back at 6, and might be preaching in the master of the house, might not be, but hopefully it will be. But pray for us. And then Thursday night, we're back as normal to our prayer and Bible study, 7:30 Thursday night, 6 tonight. Next Sunday, our brother John will be preaching for us in the morning service. And pray for all the services. And I'm grandfather again, the third time, I can't believe it. Lucy was born on the 12th, 8 pound 4. Her and Hannah's both doing well. And I want to thank each one that was praying. You know, things maybe didn't go at the start the way it was meant to go. I was at work and I just, something come on me to pray at work. And I was by myself, was driving an old roller. And I just had a nice time with the Lord. And I tell you, God answers prayer. You might think, well, everything was all right anyhow, and it was. But God answers prayer and we don't even know about it. Things could go other ways, but the Lord is merciful. Now the enemy, he wants to show his head up. But we need to keep claiming the blood on him. Praise God. All of our children and everything, praying for them. God will get a hold of them. And you can't force them to do something. You know, I want to share this and I'm going to try and preach a bit. I was coming home on Friday and it struck me, really struck me. So on the phone where I am and he had people in the van. I had fellas in my van. And I started talking about my dad. And me and Aaron started talking when we were wee fellas and everything. And I'll tell you what hit the two of us. God changed that man. God changed my dad. And not only did God change my dad, God changed me. And I tell you, it struck me. Most of the fellas I chummed about were dead and in the grave. They're actually dead. And the boy says, "You're joking." And I says, "I'm not. They're not here." There's a fella I used to sleep on his couch. I left home. My mum can tell you I rebelled completely. Me and my dad fell out. Many's the night I lay on this boy's couch, he's dead. There's another big fella stayed at his house. Me and him was very, very close. He really looked after me. I could tell you things, what I want to get involved in, and he stopped me from doing it. And he wasn't even saved. But God used him.
Amen.
He's dead as well, killed of a motorbike. We thought a lot of that big fella. He was probably the tightest man I ever knew in my life. I'm telling you now, Derek Jones, you called him. He was one tight man. I wouldn't have worried about any man, but I'll tell you what, I would not have crossed Derek Jones. People talk about tight boys, and Derek Jones saved me from so many things I wanted to do. Taking drugs and stuff, and he wouldn't let me do it. He stopped me from doing it. I believe it was God. And he chummed with another fella called Billy Liggett. There at Portydown Liggett's, they're wild as hers. Them was wild men that done big time in jail. And some of you might know this. This is true, and I'm going to tell you this. When the Lord got a hold of me, I was in a late night prayer meeting in the Elam and Bond Bridge. It's a prayer meeting, me and Idris. I used to go out in the streets late, but it was the prayer time. Billy Liggett come to that meeting, but he never come into the room. He'd heard I got saved, and he didn't believe it. Because him and Jonah was big mates. And he stood in the hallway in Bonbridge Elam to hear us praying in the prayer room. When me and Idris come out, he was there. Nobody in the meeting knew anything about it. But that big man got saved and served the Lord. I don't even know if he's still living. He did contact me some years back. He was serving the Lord. He wasn't too well. So many testimonies. God's mercy. God turned my dad's life around. And he certainly turned my life around. And I'll tell you what about it. Well, I'm telling you. If God could turn me and turn my dad. And I'll tell you what you people might think of Billy. Billy was always a great lad. He was a great lad. But I'll tell you, my dad was a madman. Now, I know all about it now, Philip. We were wee fellas, we know all about it, the drinking and all. And that man didn't know his own strength, but God turned him. God transformed him. And all the wee denominations round tried to get my dad to go to meeting when he was backslid for 18 years. And God spoke to him one day and God said to him, "When I turn you round, when I restore you." And he's given that scripture, "Lo, you've lay amongst the pots and the ponds, yet you'll be a choice vessel." He says, "None of these men that's asking you to come will want to hear you when I restore you. Not one of them will want to hear you." And that's the truth. None of them wanted it. Not one of them. But God restored that man. And it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish is important, isn't it? Amen. Now I'll tell you, I rebelled against my dad. My mom knows it. I left home and everything. And you know, my greatest memories. I don't even know why I'm telling you this. To think of the way things was in our house and how God turned it And then there's me and my dad travelling to Australia and New Zealand to take meetings together. Only God can do that. That was nothing to do with Billy McKinstry, and it definitely was nothing to do with Tommy McKinstry or anybody. That was God. That was God. When he gave me a love for my dad, my dad a love for me. And that's God. And I'm going to tell you, Christians, and I feel led to tell you this. I'm going to tell it. Because I know some Christians, and they're not right what they're doing. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you have something in your heart against somebody that you know, especially a relative, and you're holding it, you're wrong. You are wrong. The Bible is absolutely 100% clear. You must forgive your enemies. Forgive those that persecute you. Pray for them. You cannot hold it against them. You must forgive them and love them. And when you do, God will bless you. Now, I don't know why I'm saying that, but I've been led to say it. And if some people hold grudges and people do things to hurt people, they know they're doing it. They see this wee thing in here, the tongue does a lot of damage. The Bible says it's a small member,
yes. But
it steers the whole vessel. Wouldn't you rather say a word to bless somebody than to take the legs from under them? Wouldn't it be better? Forgiveness is the key to Christianity. We cannot hold nothing in our hearts. My heart was full of hatred, bitterness. And I tell you, the Lord took it clean out of me. I couldn't have done it myself. God took it out of me. He took it out of me. And I thank the Lord for it. And we and Aaron talked about this fellas, and they're not even saved. And we were just saying how the Lord Jesus changed me and my dad. I know we joke about things, and maybe my dad told a couple of boys out, and you might have seen that, but that was nothing. I could guarantee you that was nothing to what he would have done when he wasn't serving the Lord. He wouldn't even have got to tell him that. Only God's mercy. Amen. Now every one of us know it. We all go through the times when you lost the head or whatever you want to call it. But that's wrong. That is wrong. Wigglesworth had a temper. And God got rid of it for him. Because it was wrong. But the Lord took it out of him. Amen. And I tell you, we need the Lord's help. Every day we need the Lord's help. Amen. I don't know why I said them things, but God bless you. I want to talk this morning about the necessity of the blood, and I know we know all these things. The reason why the Lord must demand blood for atonement of sins lies in the very nature of God. Now hear what I'm saying. It lies in the very nature of God and the nature of sin. And since God's a holy God and God cannot let sin pass without a satisfaction, without a justice of God. And sin's rebellion against God, it's rebellion. All of us have sinned in rebellion against God. Every one of us are sinners. The highest, because it's a rebellion against the highest one, which is God, then the highest price needs to be met to satisfy the one that's the highest. Only the greatest and highest price can be accepted as atonement for sin. That's why there is a principle in Scripture, there is a law in Scripture, that when you sacrifice, even in the Old Testament, it must be the best they had. It had to be a certain age so that it was still pure. It could have no crippled legs or no blemishes on its flesh. It was the pick of the flock, if it's a lamb. The absolute pick. And we know that That's atonement. This is what God required, and this is the blueprint God set from Genesis. Now, God gave the children of Israel the holy law on Mount Sinai. Moses on the mountain received the tablet of God. A fellow said to me one time, "Don't know what you're doing with a tablet." I says, "I got inspired from Moses." Now, I was joking, tablet. But Moses was the first one with a tablet. And Moses' tablet had 10 commandments on it. And before Moses even come down to the children of Israel, they had broke two of them commandments. And not only had they broke two of them commandments, and I don't want to get into the chemistry of light and other things, but we're going to see what Moses made them do with that calf they worshipped. And I heard a fellow one time around the end time message, and he pointed to a certain man, and he said, "He's Arn." And I says, "Well, you better be careful if he's Arn, because Arn was partaker of the building of a golden calf and false worship." But I'll show you this morning what God thought of it and Moses. God gave the children of Israel on the holy Mount Sinai the law. The disobedience to law demanded the greatest penalty. Look at Exodus 25, 17 to 22. And I had to watch my time. Let me read you verse 17 of Acts 25. "And thou shalt make a mercy seat, pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. Thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work. Thou shalt make them in 2 ends of the mercy seat." And this is the full description of the mercy seat. Let's go to verse 20. "The cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high." Maybe Matthew can put up the pictures after. Well, let me read this verse first, brother. "Covering the mercy seat." So the mercy seat, it's an oblong box. And this oblong box, go ahead and put it up, brother. Leviticus 16, you can read about it as well. But this box contains the Ten Commandments. So the word is in the box. It's an oblong box. Here's a good picture of it. Now I want you to notice this picture. You see these cherubims folding over it. These are the type of the angels of the Lord folding over the mercy seat. This mercy seat is made from acacia wood. It is hard, dry wood. Isaiah says, "As a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness, nor no beauty that we should desire him." And this word on its own, before it's covered with gold, is nothing fancy or beautiful about it. And this word here speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. But this word is overlaid with pure gold. The gold overlays the entirety of this oblong box. And God was in Jesus Christ, not in part, but in full. Spurgeon called him the God-man. So this here is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this ark, this is the Ark of the Covenant, which the angels are bent over, guarding it. Within it is the Ten Commandments. And John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Everything about it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. This box. An orange rod also was in this box. And you know that orange rod budded. It was just a rod, but it budded and it blossomed. And you see the thing about this oblong box, and I don't want to go, I was going to even do a separate message in this, because it needs time. It deserves time. This wasn't in the holy place, but it was in the holiest of holies. In the tabernacle, this is the furthest part you can go in the tabernacle that God gave Moses the blueprint to build. And in this place, for this ark of the mercy seat is, where the cherubims are, even the very curtains is woven into them, cherubims. But at a certain time, the Shekinah glory of God would descend. And when the Shekinah glory of God descended on this mercy seat, no priest, earthly priest, could minister. none of them could minister. The presence of God came. And this is a mercy seat. And Brother Branham preached a powerful message. God's chosen place of worship. Now listen to that message. Look it up. God's chosen place of worship. And God's chosen place of worship. He showed us that is where God put his name. And he didn't put his name in the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or the Presbyterian or the Methodist or so forth. That's not where he put his name. Now we know there's good people in lots of them places. We're not saying there's not. But he put his name in his Son, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mercy seat this morning is not an earthly building or an earthly tabernacle, but the mercy seat is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And just as this natural mercy seat, this ark was a mercy seat, this crown of gold round it, these four, everything speaks of Christ as the King. And there's mercy nowhere else this morning. There was only mercy for Billy McKinstry and Tommy McKinstry and every McKinstry and every single person. There's only mercy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where mercy is this morning. And the week song says, mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said he is the God-man. When you think of this word alone, it's dry word, it's from the desert. That's where this word comes from. And he has a root out of dry ground, Isaiah the prophet prophesying, speaking. And yet God in his blueprint, God's word dovetails perfectly. Every single thing's for a reason. You know, when you first start preaching, and when I first started preaching of wee sermons and things, but I find the older I get, I want the detail. I want the detail. Do you not find yourself, if you're going to buy a vehicle or a machine, you fellas that work with machines, you want the detail. You want detailed information, what mileage it is, what horsepower it has, what wheel is it? Every single detail about it, you want to know every single thing about it. It could have some wee hidden things in it that are beautiful. And I tell you, when you seek the Word of God and you get into God's Word and don't just fluff over it, but really get into it, there is nuggets in the Word of God, there is hidden details. Amen. But we're living in the dispensation of the revealing of the hidden details. Because God said in Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God shall be declared, made known, fulfilled. And God has been kind enough to unveil to us hidden details so that we're not behind, as Paul talks about, but that we know these mysteries of God. You can read Leviticus, and I'm going to take a moment, and I know I'm excited. There's nothing I can do about it. I try not to be, but after 30 years or more, I still get excited. You see, this morning when we started to sing about the Lord, I was excited. I would love my children to have this feeling that I've got. If I could give them the feeling I've got for a week, they'd never want to give me it back. They'd want to keep it. It beats all the drink and all the drugs and all the sin.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is superior to every one of them. Sin only lasts for a season. You say, brother, boy, I don't feel anything. Well, I'll tell you what, you need to get a bit closer to the Lord. And you will feel it. If you get close to him long enough, you'll feel it. You'll know about it. There'll be an aroma that'll come off him onto you. An aroma. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming on you. Hallelujah. Let me read you this. Leviticus 16 verse 13 to 16. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat. That is upon the testimony that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. Before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat, and he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation and remain among them in the midst of their uncleanness. The blood had to be applied on the mercy seat. And I tell you, Jesus Christ is our mercy seat this morning. Jesus Christ's blood was applied. He made the atonement. The ultimate atonement was at Calvary, where he atoned for our sins and the sins of the whole world. He made atonement for our sins. And here atonement has been made. It is God's provision. It is God's way. There's no other way. You can't bypass it and come. This is the only way you can come. Remember the law of the first mansion, which saw in one of the earlier services. This cannot be changed. This is why God gave Moses the blueprint, the tabernacle, and the holiest of holies. You remember the ark that we saw these pictures of, an oblong box. And the brothers of pictures showed the pictures made of acacia wood covered with beaten gold. Now look, I have to go on with what I have this morning, but I could go right in here now with that. There's a whole message, and it deserves it. Many times we fluff over things, but there's a message in it. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to come back to it, even if it's not tonight. I'm going to come back to it again. I know I preached on the ark before. I'm going to preach on it again. And I pray God will let me preach on it many times yet before I go. For I'd love to preach on the tabernacle. The broken law demanded eternal damnation of Israel, but God made provision. God made provision. Now I want you to get this. We were in no place of ourselves to make a provision. The provision for our salvation is absolutely from God alone. We cannot make a provision of our own, and we don't have to. Our provision is from the Lord and of the Lord. And he made a provision, even though they broke the law. And he planned a mercy seat of beaten gold to cover this broken law once a year in the Day of Atonement. And the high priest would take the blood of the animal, sacrifice God's provision from the altar of the burnt offering, and sprinkle it on the mercy seats we saw 7 times. And the broken law then covered by the blood of an innocent sacrifice, God was appeased. Atonement had been made for the people. God's justice was satisfied. His mercy flowed out again unto the people. And when you look upon the broken law without blood, you're in trouble. I'm telling you. You see, people talk about the Spirit, and then they talk about we need the Spirit, we need the Word, and we need the blood. We cannot work with the one without the rest. Churches years ago got to a place where they no longer preached, they no longer used the Bible. They said, we'll flow in the Spirit, it'll all be in the Spirit, and it'll be the gifts that will not need the Word of God, no preaching. But when you leave the Word out, you're leaving the Lord out. We need the Spirit to move, sure we do, but we need the Word. And the people must hear the Word, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And the same Bible says, how shall they go except to be sent? How shall they preach except to be sent? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. Amen. So we're commanded to preach the gospel. Amen. You could read Exodus 13:13, mark it down, but we're going to Hebrews 9, verse 15 to 28. Maybe I'll try and read this, a portion of this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 to 28. For this cause, he is a mediator of a New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God have enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So in the Old Testament, every single thing was covered with the blood. Everything. The very implements they were using that spoke of Christ was covered with blood. And I tell you, we need the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. Sprinkle, verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood of the tabernacle, the vessels, the ministry. Verse 22, and almost all things of the law purged without the shedding of blood, no remission. Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Amen. Into heaven itself. Nor to appear in the heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without salvation. Without sin, sorry. Unto salvation. That's why when you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you will read there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ has went to heaven and once and for all one time sacrifice appeased God for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And when we accept it and we believe it by faith alone, through Christ alone, we see it. We're not under condemnation no more. There used to be a wee song we used to sing, no condemnation in my heart today. No condemnation. And there is no condemnation in the believer, because Christ took your place. And you're not condemned. You're justified in the sight of God. Justified. You can look it up, or I can tell you what a prophet said. That's the same thing. A prophet of God said, it's though you never did it in the first place. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sinful past and nature and all them things, because once you come under that blood, when the blood's been applied to your life, let's go back a step. Let's come back a moment. We read about the blood of the lamb and we read about the goat. The goat was for the children of Israel, and they laid their hands on the goat. And the goat was taken out of the camp. Out of the camp, and he carried away into the wilderness the sins of the people on him. And Christ suffered without the camp. That's the type of Jesus Christ, as the goat carried their sins away, so Christ carries our sins away. And the Bible says, thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more, for they're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness.
Hallelujah. Yes.
God don't see your sins. He sees the blood. He sees the blood, not your sins. The atonement's been made. I had to get my wife to look at that word again coming just before I come out. And I stood over what a darning thing, and that word stuck to me. Atonement. Atonement. Because of the atonement, God does not see our sins. We're under the blood. Amen. Under the blood. Now I want you to think of this for a moment. I know we've had trouble in this land in this recent days, and things have happened and things have been done. But I want you to think of this, and some religious people won't like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. You think of somebody that kills somebody and murders them, can be saved. And you think of somebody that goes to church and never does what they call any harm and goes straight to hell. Because the Bible requires repentance. And we believe in the blood and all these things, but Acts 2, repent ye therefore, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, eternal life. You think of a man, no matter how wicked they are or evil, or what they've done, if they truly repent. You know, I can't remember the name, and John and maybe Gary would remember better than me, but when I was in Australia, Brother Brian let me hear the testimony. Then I heard it again. I used to have a wee, you know, them wee machines that plays the stuff, but my young lads decided they would put stuff on it or do something with it, and I blanked the whole thing. Lost a lot. I was not happy. I had to say, Lord, help me. I had a lot of stuff on that. John is one. But you know, all the sermons and everything in the Bible and all was on it. But there was a woman. She was kidnapped.
Stephen Marin.
Stephen Marin. This boy never ever let any of his victims live. But he kidnapped this woman, but she was a believer. And she said she can't explain it, but a boldness came over her and she started to preach to him. And she started to tell him about the things of God. And the police and everything, they started coming for him and everything. And to cut a long story short, you can go and try and look it up, Stephen Marin. Look it up, the testimony. She witnessed this man, she told him. And eventually he let her go. And the police got him and everything, and they told her, do you realize who had you? She didn't really realize. And they told her and everything, and that man was getting the death penalty. Isn't that right, brother? The death penalty. And he asked that woman to come and see him. And he turned to the Lord. Now, I know people say it, chop his head off and cut him to pieces and do all sorts of stuff to him. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. See, we have a society of Christianity here in Northern Ireland. I'm not going to need to go nowhere else. Here in Northern Ireland, we have religious Christianity. Where they would be insulted if you tell them anybody could be saved like that. He could never be saved. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. I'm sorry. The Bible says Christ died for sinners.
Amen. Yes.
Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. He cheered them on. He persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He was zealous to persecute them. But God picked him.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And God could save anybody. Anybody. Whosoever will may come. Now I'm going to close in a moment, but Beth Shemesh, 1 Samuel chapter 6. The Ark of the Covenant been taken captive. The Philistines, God sent him divers diseases, plagues. We read they called diviners, soothsayers, and they put the ark on a new wagon with two young calves on it. And two cows went straight in a line to the land of Israel and come to the city, of the Levites, Beth Shemesh. There was great celebrations of the men of Beth Shemesh. They lifted up the mercy seat to see if it was okay, but no priest was there. Nobody that was chosen of God was there to do it. The blood hadn't been applied by the priest. The priest of God, that's also typed because Christ is our priest. How many knows that? He's a priest. He's touched by the feeling of infirmity. Our high priest. They had no priest. They took it on themselves to do it. But they weren't ordained to do it. The priest wasn't there. No priest was there. And the blood of the innocent sacrifice hadn't been shed. 1 Samuel 6:19. Let me read it. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. I tell you, they might have looked into it, but they never got to tell nobody what they're saying. Because God smote them dead. And he smote of the people 50,000 and 70. That's a wipeout job. And 10 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And you know, they wanted rid of the ark. They didn't want the ark no more. And Paul the Apostle says the gospel can save, and it separates to life and it separates to death. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. And this ark they thought was foolishness. And this ark they thought anybody can touch it. But they were wiped out. And I tell you, we're living in the day of grace. But Jesus Christ is coming again. He will never be nailed to another tree. His face will never be beaten again. His hands will never be wounded again. A crown that was once crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now.
Hallelujah.
He is a risen Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not just the Lamb. He's the Lion. And he's going to roar. And I tell you, when the lion roars in the jungle, every single animal, even the elephant, has respect to the roar of the lion. Now I know there's another lion. The other lion goes about seeking whom he may devour. He had his teeth kicked out. He's been mortally wounded. But the lion we're talking about is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And he's coming for his people. And his blood's been shed. I'm going to have to close because I want you to get excited, pray and shout and everything else. Praise God. Isn't God good? He's the Lamb, but he's also the Lion. He's coming. Coming for a people. His blood's been shed. Atonement has been made. Christ is coming again. We're to be ready. Now the Lord leads tonight. We're going to see a phrase in Scripture. Watch. Watch. Imagine you drove down the road and you never watched. You wouldn't get far. Do you ever find yourself driving along and you're in a dead ring? Now I'm guilty of it. But it's dangerous, isn't it? I was in a dead train one Friday coming home. And I won't tell you from the pulpit here what happened, but it was a bit of a smash up. I got in an awful trouble over it. Dead train. We had to watch sleeping. Sleeping. Falling asleep driving. You say I'd never do that. It's easy done. Our Aaron was driving the dozer and fell asleep, clean over the edge of the tip. Right down the other side, could have been killed.
God's mercy. Clean over the edge. Many of the persons went over the edge, but they didn't live to tell the story. And Christ's coming, and there's going to be people sleeping. And they're not watching, because they can't watch it or sleeping. There is a spiritual awakening. Now, I know we have boys in America and all over, and they run about with gold chains and gold this and that. And if you have a gold chain, God bless you. Nothing wrong with a gold chain. I'm not saying it because of that. Get me one you want. That'll work. Nothing wrong with that. But all the harsh money. They talk about the Great Awakening. They know nothing about the power of God. It's all money. God showed me, you're to send me this and send me that. I don't believe that. I believe if you pray and seek it, God will reward you openly.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You wouldn't need to tell nobody. You'd need to tell the Lord about it in secret. Then somebody could be sent to bless you. That's true. Let's stand our feet. Praise God. I'm going to pray, and the brother Gary's going to come and sing a few choruses before we go. Isn't the Lord good? Let's close our eyes this morning. If you need a touch in your body, you have pains or ailments, lay your hand on yourself and I'm going to pray for you. Right now that God will do something for you. You believe the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot or blemish. Lord, you see, for the people that the hands led on, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll touch them. Confirm your word with signs, wonders following. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Add to your church, such as should be saved. Help us as your people to serve you. Lord, we think of that wee song, I will serve thee because I love thee. Lord, I only love thee because you first loved me. I thank you, Lord, that you love me and gave yourself for me. You love your people with an unchanging love. Lord, we want to thank you for your love. We pray you will help us to love others. Help us to be like you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Father, meet every single need, I pray, in this house. And save people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Gary.
Yeah.
I want to do something I don't normally do. I don't think, you know, when a child's hungry, you don't have to tell it to cry. And if you're wanting something, you don't have to tell, you just do it. And I don't like telling people how to worship or to praise God. But, you know, I remember just something come into my head there one time, Brother John said, if someone strange was to come in, could they accuse you of being Pentecostal? could we clap our hands and make a joyful noise while we sing that and praise God and just make a joyful noise and be glad to be saved? Because if you'll do that for me, I'd appreciate it. Praise God.
The Lord.
sing one more chorus and then we'll close in prayer. Maybe if anyone would like to pray, can't ask everyone to close in prayer, but if you would like to pray, you pray. And then we can get someone to close in prayer after you pray. Praise God. We'll just sing a little chorus. Praise God. And
I will serve him.
We'll sing it then. Yes, praise God. I will serve him. Molly gets the words up just to. And if the children just continue to play on softly, while we stop singing, just and give opportunity if anybody would like to pray and give thanks to God.
I will serve.